Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
All right, everybody. This is kind of a weird episode. We are going back to our original ClickFunnels Radio. So I want to introduce you guys to Dmitry Dragilov. Dmitry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This is kind of fun. So Dmitry, I've had Funnel Hacker Radio literally for like the last year and a half, 2 years. We started off originally as ClickFunnels Radio. One of our social media managers at the time said, oh, we should brand more Funnel Hacker Radio. And as Russell's been going through his Traffic Secrets book, we were looking at just branding and everything that we've been doing. And we got a million more searches for ClickFunnels than we do for Funnel Hackers. And so we've gone back, and you actually are one of our very first few hosts on the relaunch of ClickFunnels Radio. So welcome to the show.
Awesome. Good to be here. I'm excited. That's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun for us. So for those of you guys who don't know Dmitry is the CEO and co-founder of Just Reach Out. It's a SaaS company. Dmitry and I belong to Dan Martell's SaaS Academy, and it's been a fun to kind of seeing everyone's different businesses and how they're growing. Dmitry's is a cool business. And not one I would have expected. So for Dmitry actually was worked at Polar. So the heart monitors, all that kind of stuff.
Well, Polar was the, there's many different companies named Polar. So it's sometimes confusing.
But the company, which Polar were you with?
I was with the polling company, Polar. It's a company that you can basically create a poll and you can poll others, a little app.
Cool. So you guys were acquired by Google, and
yes,
Google sits there and offers you this crazy, insane salary to stay on.
Yeah.
And you decide to say, you know what? I don't need you.
Yeah.
Google, I'm out of here. I'm going to go do my own thing. Why in the world would you do something like that?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a crazy situation because there was just a few of us. I actually met up with some people from that company today, just before this. And we built it so fast. You know, I was the only marketer that kind of was responsible for scaling it. The rest were engineering talent. It was a little polling app. And so what I decided to do is create a relationship between breaking news stories and polls that people created. And so they would stick these little polls, these little widgets of ours inside, would convince journalists to stick it inside their breaking news articles. So when somebody was acquiring somebody else or the mayor of Toronto was smoking crack or Xbox was coming out with the new feature, they were sticking our widgets inside their article. And it was just tons of fun doing that.
That's
I kept
awesome.
Doing it over and over and over and over again. And you can imagine, like, if you're on a breaking news story, you get a lot of views of your little widget and people will get a lot of votes. Like, is the mayor of Toronto like addicted to crack or not? Tons of these little polls that people, and the Houston Chronicle and Washington Post and NPR, they would get more people staying on the site. So they'd love it. And we quickly drove the metrics to 40 million page views a month. And at the time, Google Plus was still a little struggling. So Google was like, we got to amp up the whole Google Plus thing. And we were acquired because of that. You know, I lived in the Valley for 6 years. I've interviewed Tim Ferriss and Evan Williams from Twitter and all the big names, you know, Eventbrite and WordPress, Mallenweg. I've met and interviewed them and built relationships with them. Even Ashton Kutcher. It was kind of crazy, but I've done it. And so I didn't want to go back to Silicon Valley. And most of all, I didn't want to work for the man. Like, I did that when I was a teenager. I stopped and I started going the entrepreneurial route, kind of hacking, bootstrapping. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And I knew that there was 2-year earnout, 4-year earnout. I would have been set. I would have bought 3 of these houses probably and a Tesla. I just said, no, man, I need to build something that teaches people how to do outreach and get PR going for themselves without PR firms, without consultants. It was just a dream of mine for so long. Be doing myself a disservice, just feeling kind of meh for 4 years, taking that money. I got to do follow my own dream, you know, kind of do my own thing. It was a crazy time too, because my son was going to be born. My wife was pregnant with my first. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to walk away from a salary, walk away from all the money, and just kind of work on my little idea here and like maybe get a consultant gig so we can like pay the bills. Kind of like an insane time in my life, but I was like, you know, you only live once. You kind of have, I want to kind of sort of feel meh about it, you know?
So. So has it been a good decision?
Yes. I am so much happier now than I've ever have been in my life, I think. And so much more satisfied with what I do now, that it's amazing. And I work 20 hours a week and, you know, I make way more than I've ever made in my own, in my entire life. And it's been an amazing journey from that time till this time, you know?
So I know that's been more than just a couple of days from leaving Google to where you're at now. A lot of failure, a lot of ups and downs. Help people understand, what's that journey like? I mean, to leave Google is not the easiest thing in the world to convince your spouse of. Well, who's pregnant probably at the time, or was
well,
it?
Well, I actually, you know, what I did is I actually pushed myself away from even joining. So I stayed on the sidelines as a consultant to make sure I don't go through any of the acquisition process, to make sure that I'm not considered for, I don't, you know, like mess up the acquisition at all, that I'm not an issue at all. So I literally, when I heard that this was happening, I was like, just take me out of the equation. I'm a full-time consultant. I'm not an employee of the company. I'm going to steer my own way clearly. So that process was just kind of tough to kind of circumnavigate, because I even built the company and helped them build the company, you know. But yeah, and it was just, there's a lot of miscommunication too at the time. Like, press was on me for information about us, like details, and it was just a little crazy at that time. And the people that decided to reacquire that company and run it forward ended up trying to do things that it was just, there's like a lot going on at that time. But
well, let's jump forward now to Just Reach Out. It's your new company, justreachout.io. Why PR? Because I know a lot of our, just to give you some context, a lot of our ClickFunnels audience here are funnel hackers. They have their own small businesses, small to middle-sized businesses. Most of our clients are from startup to, you know, $10 to $50 million. Does PR really matter to them? Because I know that's going to be one thing everyone always says is, does PR even matter and why?
Yeah, I think PR matters. And it's mainly for small businesses like funnel hackers, people that are your audience. The reason being is that PR can equate sales and customers. And that's what people don't understand and don't want to understand and don't want to implement because they don't know how to do it. And it's like this black box. But really, if you do PR right, it's really content that you create that is evergreen, that gives you more and more and more customers every single day without you having to invest money and run ads. So instead of you, like the conventional notion that we're all used to, that I'm sure funnel hackers are used to, is money in, money out. You put money in, you get money out of this whole funnel. And that money in could be a one-time investment. And that could be content that's ranking high on Google. And then no more money in after that. Once you rank number one for your key term, then that money in just keeps coming in without you having to invest anything into it. So I rank for the term PR outreach. Anybody who's Googling PR outreach wants to figure out how to do it. And so I don't put any money into it. I did it 2 years ago, and that's a piece of content on my site, organic from Google. I get 60 people that sign up every week on my service just because I rank number one there. That's a PR initiative, you know, not like people don't think of it as a traditional PR initiative, but that's a PR campaign that you run. And so that's what I tell people. It matters, you know, because you don't have to continuously spend more money to get more customers if you do it strategically. You
know? So how does justreachout.io help a person with their PR? Because you're kind of against the whole idea as far as hiring a PR firm.
Yes. Yeah. Because I've spent so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars personally hiring PR firms over the last 5 years and probably 7 years now. And Just Reach Out is built for you to do your own PR outreach and build relationships with journalists. So first, you need to figure out what keyword you want to rank number one for. What are the keywords that people are punching into Google to find your solution and, you know, buy something similar to what you do. And then you need to create that content on your site. And once you do, then you're doing PR around that one piece of content. That content can be data, it can be insights, it could be something that is powerful enough for journalists to grab onto. So just reach out. What it does is it tells you what journalists need every day. So every day, hundreds of thousands of queries come out from journalists every day looking for an expert in sales, in marketing, and how to sell better. I was just doing a project with Pipedrive, and Pipedrive has been a customer of ours for like 4 years or so. And we got them to rank number one for the term sales management. Right now, even they have a snippet. If you Google sales management, they come up number one snippet on Google. And so when we're doing that project, we're saying, all right, well, there's tons of journalists just need an expert to quote for the best, you know, sales tactics for 2019 article, 2020 article. And so when we wrote that article, one of the first things we did is we used Just Reach Out to just respond to these queries, because these journalists are already submitting them, and our tool aggregates all these things for any keyword, really. So you put in sales, marketing, whatever an expert, whatever field an expert you are, and then you find them and you reach out to these journalists and you say, I'm answering your query and I'd love for you to contribute, right? Because you need somebody. And it's usually a deadline within a few days or so. We also help you find podcast opportunities where the host themselves needs a specific person to be on their show. Again, another way to get a little bit of publicity to try and rank for that main piece of content. We also allow you to find all sorts of other pitch journalists. So we'll find you the most relevant journalists on your topic, and we'll tell you why they're most relevant for that topic, why they might want to talk to you. Lots of different tools in this platform that allow you to find most relevant journalists by yourself, compose a pitch, send it out, and track how that's doing and improve the pitching process as well as you get going, because we have a course in there and everything else.
That's awesome. So Dimitri, I always look at traffic one of two ways. We're either working our way in or we're buying our way in. And mm-hmm. you know, working your way in is kind of what justreachout.io does. It allows you to work mm-hmm. your way in. Is there a way that you can actually buy your way in to these journalists?
Yes. Yes. So there's sponsored content all the time, and our platform allows you to find sponsored opportunities. So in other words, emailing somebody at Forbes and asking them, hey, I want you to feature me, sometimes doesn't work. A lot of people do this, and that journalist might not want to pay attention to you, and you actually might not have something that's pitchable to that journalist. Like it needs to be something very unique, a data insight or something that's very, you know, thought-provoking. But advertising-wise, there's tons of opportunities. TechCrunch does this a lot with us, Business Insider. Even we've done it with New York Times as well, where it's sponsored content. So you write content and it looks like a regular piece of article, like a regular piece of content on magazine somewhere, but it's sponsored. So it might say next to your byline, sponsored, right? But it still has got a regular headline, a regular setup, just like a regular article. And what happens is you pay money and you get this thing promoted, and it goes to the homepage, it goes to the newsletter, and you see the performance of these articles. And this might be a great way to really try and see if this is converting well for you, if you want to spend more money on it. I always experiment with things such as I'll publish a piece of content on another site, and what I'll do is I'll push ads to that piece of content because it's on a third-party site, such as Forbes, or maybe it's technology advice or whatever it is. Maybe it's saleshacker.com, whatever the publication or blog is. You email Max Alter, you strike up a deal with Sales Hacker, you say, hey, I want a sponsored blog post. And so you put that blog post together and then you just have him promote it. You promote it yourself. And the thing is, leads from a third-party site come in much better rate and convert better than your own site a lot of times because it's third-party validation. It works a lot better. So you might want to measure that, you know. I do that a lot with content on third-party sites, just getting them to sponsor them. That's why, like, traditional JVs, Now I'm pushing them to do their own campaigns and their own ads to their audience, you know, with content that
give
I
give me an example of that. What do you mean?
So like Jeff Bulas, for example, has got a huge audience of millions of subscribers on his blog, mainly marketing crowd, right? The old way to do things used to be to ask Jeff to email his user base a commission or something to promote my service or whatever I'm doing. The new way is to have him create a sequence of Facebook Messenger funnels that create basically promote my content, my webinars, my articles, my stuff to his audience as if he's sharing it and saying, hey, look at how Dimitri pitches press. This is his step-by-step guide on how to do this. Isn't this amazing? So he's basically being paid to promote my stuff to his audience. It's like hiring an influencer to promote your brand to their following, but in a different context. And I would have him promote my articles. Maybe I would have him promote content that's independent, just like like a lead magnet or something directly to them. But Facebook Messenger actually has been doing really well in general for me when I do any kind of JVs and stuff with content and kind of PR. So I like to marry both, you know. Getting published is one thing, and then using that with ads is another thing to drive leads. I always like to milk it the most I can, right? So get that one article on Forbes and then just push traffic towards it. Or even that article I wrote that article on The Next Web on how I got acquired by Google. To this day, I get leads from it. And I push so much traffic to that article on The Next Web. There's no way I would have gotten leads if I wrote in the same thing on my own blog. It just doesn't shine the same way. Like, if you write something on your own blog, people understand, like, you push ads to your own site. But if it's like on another site, you're like, oh, what, some other site is writing about this guy, you know?
That's actually I love that idea. I don't think too many people do that as often as they should. I think that's a great idea. It's putting ads on other people's, that's super, super smart.
Yeah. And you can buy your way into most of these blogs, publications. Content is key here.
So if a person wants to get started, what are some of the main things, if they want to get started with PR? Because I go back to the PR and I always think of some of the stunts. It's like the P.T. Barnum of PR type of things. What are the crazy, wild things they could do to get, you know, PR that way? But your PR, you actually look at it totally different. It's not the crazy stuff as much as it is the consistent content mill that you're creating.
So the first thing I say is, why do you want to do PR? And the goal should be always to have consistent traffic coming in that converts to customers who pay you money. And then from that, you build your plan. So I'm very biased. And in my world, I usually like to rank number one on Google for a specific key term. This might not be a typical, you know, funnel hacker kind of goal. Funnel hacker might be just, I just want cash, you know. And I don't care. I might push traffic towards it or not, but there should be some goal. And then you're working towards that goal with content. So you usually create one piece of content. Piece of content could be a blog post, could be a lead magnet, could be something of an asset that people download, could be a data or an insight study. So Brian Dean did one on, we analyzed 912 blog posts and we found that long form content performs better, right? That's like a big study that he did. Or I don't know, it's like the different types of studies that people run on sales statistics, and you know, this type of demo converts better than this. So you have some kind of information that's insightful and interesting that you're going to be sharing with people. And in your case, like in a lot of people's cases, there needs to be a manual process. And at the end of the whole thing, you say, well, by the way, you can automate the whole thing with my app. And that's how you do the hook and the sell, right? So you create that piece of content, and that's what you'll be promoting, or you'll be basically trying to get your people's eyes on. And then what I do is a lot of times see who is covering similar stuff on Google or on my own tool. I use my own tool. And who needs help? Like I was mentioning these queries, press opportunity queries. in my world, like, just reach out. You type in sales statistics and we'll give you, you know, we'll give you 200 journalists right now who need a sales expert to talk to because they're publishing an article on Fit Small Business or Small Business Trends or Forbes.com or Salesfolk.com. And they just need somebody to talk to right now to quote. And you can just answer them and you can say, hey, I'm going to be publishing a blog post on my site. Do you mind linking to it? Because I'm giving you a quote for your article. And that's the lowest hanging fruit. That's where you should start. And then you can build upon it by doing other, we have other tools in our platform, but you can also use Google to just find relevant journalists. So you'll Google sales statistics 2020. And you might find, you know, 10 journalists in the last week that they've written about sales statistics or how to be a good sales manager. So that's an intersect. You're writing about sales statistics. They're writing about best performing sales managers. There's something close, yeah, intersection in there. So you start chatting with them, you know, getting them interested in what you're writing about. And it's really a casual email. Like, hey, you wrote about this. I'm writing about this. Are you at all interested in this topic? Yeah, studies do really well, but it differs. I mean, we have thousands of customers, and I'd say building those relationships and conversations is how you want to start. And then you start getting mentions on all these publications. You start getting press, and that press translates into rankings on Google, and then you start gaining more and more traffic. Or you might go the paid route, and you might reach out to them and say, hey, who's the right person to talk to sponsor you guys? I want to write a sponsored piece of content. And then, you know, in a matter of weeks, you're on homepage of TechCrunch, you're on all these publications promoting your article, your content. But the content is kind of pivotal to the whole thing.
Creating, I love that.
Content, yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, that's, in a nutshell, you know, verbally speaking, I can show you stuff, but...
No, I think that's great. So where should people go to find out more?
Just reachout.io. That's where it all is. We got a blog and a bunch of resources, a course in there on how to do PR.
Awesome. No, I think that's super cool. And again, for a lot of people who are trying to, you know, bootstrap this, or even if they're not, I mean, again, you got Pipe Drive. They're not trying to bootstrap it. They're doing real well and they're still using your platform. So I think no matter what size company you are, justreachout.io. Go check it out. And most importantly, do something right now to kind of find out. I love what you're talking about, first of all. And that is, what is the keyword you want to dominate? How do you want to be the category king of what? And I think getting ranked on that is one of the main things that a lot of people just forget about, is we focus so much on paid that we forget how valuable the organic really can be.
Totally. Yeah. Any questions? Happy to answer them, you know?
Awesome. Well, Dimitri, thank you so much for your time. Again, check it out. It's just reachout.io. Again, Dimitri, thank you so much. Look forward to talking again real soon.
Thanks. Thank you.